But let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 15, and we're just going to look at one verse today. We've been going through the Gospel of Mark, but I wanted to do something specifically on motherhood. In the past, I've always I've tended to look down on like Mother's Day sermons that were just about mothers, but I really wanted to do something different this week. Because Mother's Day really represents a time of both rejoicing and a time of weeping for other people. And the verse we're going to look at, Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And so both of these things are happening today with all of us. In one way or another, we're either rejoicing or we're weeping or we're doing both. Okay? And so today, like we just saw, is a day of rejoicing for these mothers who got to come up. They've got to come up and have their children dedicated. I'm going to introduce my mom real quick. Vicki, come on up here. We've asked everybody to bring their moms to church. And as Christians, we want to affirm the high calling of motherhood and celebrate it in a way that honors Christ. Okay, and so we want to honor motherhood, and so I want to do this right now and introduce you to my mother. This is Vicki Cummings, and this is the only other woman other than my wife that you will see me hugging and kissing. So if you see that, because I know that you might have walked by and seen me hugging on her, and you're like, that's not his wife, what's going on? Okay, that's why she's my mom. But I just want to say one thing about mom, and that's this. That mom is the only person in my entire life ever to love me unconditionally. The only person. Mom knows every dark secret about me. Mom lived through them with me, and not once did mom not love me. Okay, so I became a Christian at 21, and When I became a Christian, I had an understanding of unconditional love that was already built into me by my mom. So, mom, I bought you a couple of hostas, and I meant to bring them up here to give them to you, but I forgot. But I love you. Happy Mother's Day.
I love you, too. Thank you.
Yeah.
Happy Mother's Day to everybody.
That is Vicki, the greatness. And my wife, if you guys would pray for her, I was also going to bring her up here and do some interview questions with her, but she is actually home with Sophia, who's sick, and so she's she's being a mother on Mother's Day, and so please pray for her as well. But what I want to look at, what does it look like for us to truly honor, for us to truly rejoice in a healthy way, in a way that's honoring to Christ on Mother's Day? And I want to look at two very natural outlooks on motherhood that I've seen. I've been married to a mother for 9 years, and I've seen two things, two particular outlooks. One is motherhood as slavery, okay? And the other one is motherhood as salvation, okay? And so I want to take a look at both of these. Motherhood as slavery. See, in this mindset, current moms dream of a world without children. So if you're a mom, you've got a two-year-old at home, and you have A&M stuff, not because you're a fan of the Aggies, but because you're looking to ship your child off at age 18. Because your life is miserable, and it's slavery to you. And what this represents is the ultimate loss of freedom, that having a child around is a very difficult thing. And those are existing moms, but those without children can't imagine anything more restricting than having them. And so they come to our house, and they open the front door, and there's this wall of children, right? And they come, and they're telling you about everything, okay? And their face turns white, and they're just like, you see the look on their, I remember with Dustin Aguilar, the first time he came to my house, he was like, it was like somebody shot him. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know how to process it. He didn't have enough RAM to really make this work, right? And so if you're morally opposed to birth control, just come to our house and you won't have children for many people, right? Because it's this idea, because for many of us, and I think really all of us in our flesh, our highest value is personal freedom. Our ultimate value and worth is found in personal freedom. And so if I'm not in control of my life, then who am I? That's what really a lot of us are asking that question. And this really doesn't only have to do with motherhood. But if I'm really not in control of my life, then who am I? And there is nothing that is a threat to your freedom than a child. Mothers. There's nothing more of a threat to your freedom than that. And so when it comes to the prospect of motherhood, there's little joy for you. You're in the middle of it and you just, I want to get out of this. You feel guilty for it. You beat yourself up for it, but you know you do. Okay? And then there's the other side, motherhood as salvation. And this is the current moms, their joy is specifically and only built on how well their children do, on the performance of their children. And then those without children can't imagine anything greater than having children. And so the ultimate value and worth is found in kids. If children don't act right, then who am I? This is the motherhood of salvation. If my children aren't good kids, if they aren't good, moral, upstanding kids, if they don't do the things that kids are supposed to do, then what does that say about me, right? Who am I? Or if I'm not a mother, who am I? I'm not anybody unless I have a child. And I tell you once again, children are a major threat to this. Why? Because kids are broken. They're broken just like you are. And to find your salvation in how well your kid acts is to commit yourself to hell. Why? Because your kid is broken just like you. And so either, here's what's going to happen. Either you're going to overdo it with them or you're going to underdo it with them. If your salvation depends on how well your kid behaves and how well your kid acts, you're going to be overbearing. You're going to be the great Santini. Maybe there's three people in here that have seen that. Robert Duvall, okay? Okay, you're going to be the overbearing person because why? Everything depends on how you look as a mom. Everything depends on how you look as a mom. But also, the other side of that is you will not do any kind of disciplining to your children. Why? Because you don't want to challenge your God. Okay, so it's not the great Santini. It's Veruca Salt. Do you guys remember Willy Wonka? The girl who wants everything? She wants a golden goose now, right? And he goes to Wonka and tries to get the golden goose. Because he is a slave to her because she is the center of his universe. Okay, so you have both of these extremes. And here's what we have. We also have this mythical Christian mom, right? And if your salvation, if your joy, if your excitement about life, if your delight, if your value, your ultimate value is placed in how well your children do, then guess what? You're going to compare yourself to this mythical perfect mom and that always has quiet times with her children all the time. She's instructing her children. She never gets angry at them. She's always disciplining them with perfect patience. They all know the scriptures. They can all stand up there in long sleeves and recite Bible verses in unison, right? Like the weird missionary kids that would show up at churches with 20 siblings. Like this is who you think that there's this Christian. Some of these people are like, I grew up in that family. But there's this mythical Christian mom. Whatever she looks like, she's going to look different to all of you in some degree. But she's going to be this woman that you can never measure up to. You can never, ever measure up to. Or on your good day, you can measure up to her and you can pat yourself on the back for being so awesome. Which in both cases, it's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about Jesus. It's nothing about Jesus being your Savior. It's about how well you've performed and not what he's done for you. And so you'll either be crushed by this mythical perfect mom or you'll pat yourself on the back. But children cannot be what you really need, can they? What you really need. Because your heart is much bigger than what a child can fill. And so the truth is, many of us, many women, are in both mindsets at different times, sometimes at the same time, sometimes multiple times in the same day. I know this is true of my wife, that she can understand that parenthood can seem like slavery, being a mother can be a slave, restricting of freedom, but that it can also, her identity is tied up in how well she does as a mom. This is very natural. This is very normal for human beings who are fallen, but it is not good. And Jesus saves us from both of them. See, the problem is not in valuing freedom. The problem is not in valuing your kids too much. The problem is valuing them over God. It's taking two good things, freedom and children, and turning them into ultimate things. So hear me on this. If your ultimate value is personal freedom, the issue is not kids, but your heart before God. Because motherhood isn't slavery. Sin is slavery. If you are a slave to sin, then you think you're free, but you are not. And so what you need is Jesus to deliver you from the slavery of sin. And if your ultimate value is in your kids' performance or in having kids, your issue is not kids, but it's your heart before God. Kids will never, ever give you what only God can give you. And so to truly rejoice in motherhood is to rejoice in Jesus, who saves you from your selfishness and gives you the gift of himself. He gives you him so that you can be free. You can be free to pour your life out in service. See, the gospel says Jesus died to make you a new creation. Women, he died to make you a new creation. If that's true, then real freedom doesn't come from living for yourself. Real freedom comes from being a slave of Christ. That you are made for one person, and that one person is God. And there is freedom that is had in this relationship with him. The world wants to tell you that freedom from God is the only true freedom there is. But if God has designed this entire universe and rigged it so that we must know him in order to be truly peaceful and to have true joy and true delight, then we must understand that the way to truly love your children as a mother is to be a slave of Christ. Is to be a slave of Christ. Because listen, God is calling you to pour your life out. Listen, if your value and worth are not found in your performance or your presence of a kid or having a kid, but it's in Jesus who has met your deepest need. He has forgiven you your sin and he has brought you into a relationship with the Creator. And so if the gospel is true, then motherhood is an opportunity for one thing. Now, motherhood is awesome because kids are cute, right? Motherhood is awesome because parenting is fun, sometimes. But here's why motherhood is awesome. And here's why we should celebrate motherhood. Because it is an opportunity for you to become more like Jesus. That's why motherhood is awesome. It is a fundamental avenue through which God wants to shape you as a woman into his image. Fundamental avenue. Not the only. But it is a fundamental avenue in which God wants to shape you into his image. God is primarily concerned with your holiness. He is primarily concerned with you looking like him, not with you being happy on your own terms. He wants you to look like him. And so motherhood's one of those gifts that just sort of force you into this situation where you must fall to him and his mercy. Why? Because motherhood isn't hard, guys. Motherhood isn't hard. Motherhood is impossible. What God is asking you to do, he's not asking you to just kind of try hard and he's asking you to lay your life down for a broken child, for a sinner just like you. He is asking you to lay your life down. Now, this is discipleship. This is what he's asking all of us to do. But this is the most intense primary discipleship that you will ever be a part of, is motherhood. And this means that your only hope is to live by faith in the finished work of Christ. He is, listen, your identity is not only going to be threatened, your identity is going to, your freedom is not only going to be threatened, it's going to be completely ripped, stolen from you out of your hands. It's happened to you now. And some of you are wondering, who in the world am I? I'm not anybody. Because I've just got these kids and all they do is crap on the floor. All they do is beg me for more food. All they do is whine. All they do is cry. They don't give me anything in return. Or maybe you've spent your life pouring your life into your children and your children don't act like you want them to. In fact, your children have rejected you. Your children don't follow the Lord. Your children are gone. And you're wondering, what have I done? I've done this nothing. Listen, the pleasure of knowing Jesus is far much more solid, it's far much more substantial than how well your kid does. And if you don't get that, then what you're going to do is you're going to kill your kid. You're going to kill your kid because you parenting them is going to be, you're going to be trying to justify yourself in your parenting of them. And you're going to, that's a great recipe for disaster. And some of us have done that and we've run our kids off. He is your identity when your kids screw up. And this is something to rejoice over. Listen, we rejoice in motherhood not because moms are more special than non-moms, right? Or because moms are the spiritual elite of the evangelical weird subculture that we have. No. It's because Jesus has saved them and given them an opportunity to experience him in a unique way. That is through motherhood. And a mother who is bound to Christ will be mighty for the gospel. Mighty for the gospel. Spurgeon says this. This is one of my favorite quotes I've ever heard. The devil never reckons a man to be lost so long as he has a good mother. O woman, great is thy power. Great is thy power. I want to start using the word thy more. But great is thy power. That he has called you to be a mom, to be a disciple maker for your children. But you cannot do that outside of his strength. So that's rejoicing. We're rejoicing in Jesus. Now, rejoice with those who rejoice. What's the second part of that verse? Weep with those who weep. For many today, Mother's Day is anything but a day of rejoicing. It's anything but that. Some of you have lost your mothers. My wife lost her mother to cancer 3 years ago. Several people in our church have lost mothers. Some of you want really, really badly to be moms, and you can't. For a list of reasons. Some moms in here are estranged from their children. Their children want nothing to do with them. Some children in here are estranged from their moms. You want nothing to do with your mom. Some of you in here have given up babies in a painful way for adoption, but you just couldn't, you just had to. And some have had the painful experience of going through an abortion. Like, Mother's Day is not a day of celebration and flowers and awesomeness and all these cheeky, awesome people up there having their kids are just going to be great, life is great. No, it is a day of darkness for you. It is a day of darkness. It is a day of frustration. Mother's Day to you says everything that you're not. It is a reminder of loss. And you hate it. And you want to rejoice with those who rejoice. And you kind of feel guilty for not being real excited about today, about Mother's Day. But you just can't. So I want to offer some encouragement to you. I want to offer some encouragement to you. First, I want you to feel free to grieve towards God. Grieve towards God. See, many think that to grieve, that to express sadness is to lack faith. That if I just believed God, then I wouldn't be sad. Actually, my mail lady came by one day and her father had just died. And she was talking about how her sister was a strong Christian, apparently, who would not cry at the funeral because she believed that her father was in a better place, and that if you cried, it made her feel guilty for being sad because that meant that you didn't lack faith. And so what does that make her view of God? Right? It's just a God that you can believe in when things are going well, but you need to grieve apart from him. You need to grieve apart from him. And tragically, many grieve outside of their relationship with God instead of from within it. And so whatever your situation is, as whether you've lost your mom, whether you are alienated from your mom, estranged from your mom, or you can't have kids, whatever it is, that's your story. That's you. It's who you are. And if you keep this from God, you are keeping yourself from God. Hannah was Samuel's mother in the book of 1 Samuel. She couldn't have kids. She was always mocked and scoffed at by this other woman. And she could not have kids. And this is how she prayed. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. This was an act of faith. Not of unbelief. She believed that God was listening. That's why she poured her heart out to him. And so I'm telling you, I want to encourage you to be honest with God about your distress. Do not cut yourself off from the only person in the universe who really cares and who can actually listen and can actually hear you. And can actually see deep into your heart and understand your pain and even identify with your pain. Who wants to be close with you. That it is not more spiritual to just buck up, little Johnny Christian soldier, and get over your pain. No. Jesus wants us to go to him in our pain, in the midst of our frustration, in the midst of our distress. So be honest, because the gospel brings you over and over to a God who will never leave you or forsake you. Ever, ever, ever. Second, I want to encourage you to grieve and weep here. Not just to grieve and weep, but to grieve and weep here. This is the place for it. The church is the place for it. Now, maybe you don't want to rain on the parade of all the happy mothers here this morning. But this verse tells us to weep with those who weep. We are here as your brothers and sisters to weep with you, to grieve with you. This day is not about these moms. This day is about Jesus. And church has typically been a place where positive things are celebrated. But it's not the place that you can come and be a wreck at. It's not the place where you can come and bring your garbage, your sin, because guess what? If a sinner walks into the door at a church, whoa, we better get him out, right? Because this is a place for good people. Let me just, with one sentence, destroy that. If the church was a place for good people, then Jesus would not have had to come to die. The fact of the cross means you aren't good. Period. This is a place for broken people, for redeemed sinners to be. Yes, we are completely broken, but God is changing us and he has given us his Holy Spirit. This is the place for you if you are a sinner. But this church churches have been let us never be that church that is only here to celebrate really the good things. Because guess what? That leaves out most of real life. Because real life just kind of stinks. All right? There's not a whole lot great going on in a world that is completely stricken with sinful cancer. Not a whole lot great. Now, we can pretend that there is because we live in a culture where we have a lot of stuff, right? And so we're anesthetized from really what's going on a lot of times. We're sheltered from it. But it's a dark place. And if you're paying attention, you know that. And if there is, listen, people who are, here's what happens in churches. People who are grieving, people who experience loss, here's what they're told. Just pray about it. Just pray about it. It'll go away. Just pray about it. Or I'm going to give you a really insulting, pat, theological answer. And we need to learn, if we're going to be a mature church, we need to learn to weep with those who weep. We need to learn to shut up and weep with those who weep. All right? There is a time to speak to people and give them answers, and there's a time to pray, obviously, but to just dismiss somebody with a quick, hey, just pray about it. Like, it's all going to go away with a prayer. No, you weep with those who weep. Job's buddies were doing pretty good until they turned into theologians. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, just read Job. Sorry. But if there's any place in the world to be vulnerable about your troubles, it is among the company of the redeemed. It is among the company. I mean, this applies to motherhood. This applies to all these mothers. This applies to anything, guys. Anything. The third, I want to encourage you to let your grief and weeping be mingled with truth. Do not be dominated or defined by your grief. Do not be dominated or defined by the things that have happened to you. They make up who you are, but God is your king and is taking you towards him. And this is what this means. Your loss is not a cosmic accident, but the carefully worked out plan of a good God. Now, that's not just a fortune cookie that says all things work together. It's okay. But the Bible says it. The Bible says that God is working this all together. And that in this plan, there is heartache and that this is sorrow, and he is bringing you closer to himself. The point of all of this is to draw you to him. He wants to give you the gift of himself. And he takes us through 100 billion different pathways in our own different lives to bring us to that, so that we, at the end of it, might say that God is glorious. Because he is. He is worth it. He is worth whatever he has to take us through in order to get us closer to an understanding, to bring glory to him in our own lives. Paul said it. He says, "For I see that this light momentary affliction is nothing compared to what we will receive one day." It's nothing. And so that doesn't mean this blots out your struggles, but it does give perspective to them. That, listen, your view of God does not need to be one that has all the answers, but it does need to be one that gives you him. That you have the most important person that you could ever need, and that is God. Because, listen, you were made for him. To be truly human is to be in a relationship with the creator of humans. To have true delight and to have true happiness is to know rightly the creator of delight and happiness. All of those things all roll up into him. Everything that we experience all rolls up into him, into joy. How can we know God more? And your loss is the direct result of the poison that stains our world. But you don't just grin and bear it. You don't. You don't just get over it. You hope. You hope. God is not out to punish you. but rather God took the punishment for not only your sin, but of all the sins of the world. At the cross, your loss was reconciled to God. He is redeeming your story. And so, wherever we stand today on the whole issue of motherhood, I want us to understand one thing, and that is that Jesus is Lord. That Jesus is Lord. There's no such thing as the perfect mom. We celebrate Jesus, who is taking us closer to Him and using motherhood to do that. But we also celebrate the same Jesus who is the Lord, the resurrected Lord over history. We celebrate that same Jesus in the midst of our loss, in the midst of our frustration. And we don't try to explain it away. We don't try to just get rid of it really fast. We just sit here where we are and we love one another and we pray together and we hope for the future, because we know that that Jesus does not lie dead in a grave somewhere, but He is over everything. This is Christianity. This is your calling. And so, Mother's Day, I want to make today about everyone, about mothers, about women, and about people who have lost. And so we have flowers. We have white flowers. And I want to give you one if you're a woman at all, period. And, or if you've lost your mom, I want you to grab on it, be on your way out. We'll have them there on the way out. But these flowers are white, okay? And what I want this white flower to remind you of is the purity that is found in Christ alone. That is, because of Him alone, your most deepest and most significant need has been met. And that is that you have been reconciled to God. And so let's rejoice wherever you are as a mom. Join me in rejoicing and worshiping the only one who has saved us, who can save us, and can deliver us and be our joy and our delight. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for the fact that You do not leave these women to be slaves to themselves. You don't leave these women to be underneath the burden of being perfect moms, but that You provide resources, You provide Yourself. And I pray, God, that they would cling to You. And let right now, Lord, if there's any woman in here who has been beating herself up because she's not good enough, or resenting her children because they've taken away her freedom, or, Lord, if there's women in here who have blown it in their motherhood, God, I pray that You would just remind them right now that You love them and that You have cleansed them and that You have forgiven them, and that they stand not condemned at all, but loved by the King. I pray that they would rejoice in that. And, Lord, for those, our brothers and sisters who mourn today, I pray, God, that we would be a church that mourns with them. Help us to love them, to serve them. Lord, I lift every single one of them up. Lord, that there is a hole in their hearts. Lord, would You fill that hole today? And I pray that they would not be ashamed to mourn, and that they would, Lord, go to You just like Hannah and weep bitterly, tell You what they're thinking. Don't think they have to be polite around You. You can handle it. God, to tell them to speak to You. I pray this, Lord. Help us to rejoice. Help us to mourn well. All to Your glory. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.